Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
What have you learned about being a leader?
Kyrie is not a natural leader.
Where is the leadership coming from?
I don't know who's the leader of the team. I would assume it's Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie.
So you don't have to try to be a leader.
To the basket.
You know, I've always had the tools.
Gets through a crowd again and sticks the jump shot.
It's just about going out there and just doing it.
Take that!
Meanwhile, here's a look at who the Patriots have brought in.
Busts. Has-beens, don't knows.
All right, Bruce Ellington, Philip Dorsett. Is that where we're at right now?
Look at that receiving core.
Former Broncos tight end, Matt Lacoste.
Lacrosse is a sport you like to practice.
We need to send a SOS to Bill.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Right now.
Let's get it on.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back to OMF. It's Maloney and Foray. Ordway is off. Pretty sure he's going to be in on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty sure he's going
to
be in.
All you have to do is take calls about people, you know, being happy that he's gone. And he's so insecure and so uptight about not being loved because he's a lover. He needs to be. He's perfect. like a little lab. You got to pat him and show him, tell him that he's a good boy. And people who have been here a long time know him, right?
Shut up, Fourier.
All right, we got Ben Volen. He's in here for another hour. A couple things I want to get to here in this one. I just saw this from Manish Mehta. New York Daily News covers the Jets. Talked to him actually the other night over at NBC. He tweeted out current starting quarterbacks in the AFC East. Now, keep in mind, Tannehill was traded to Tennessee. Got a one-year deal, $7 million to back up.
Best part about that is the Dolphins are paying $5 million of it. The Dolphins are paying for him to go away, basically.
Wow, so, sounds like a baseball deal.
So who's the Dolphins quarterback right now on the roster?
They have Jake Rudock and Luke Falk.
That's my guy. I'll take him.
Luke Falk?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Drafted 199th overall last year.
That was a Washington State guy.
I think so.
They
thought they were back in the mix on Bridgewater.
Yeah.
They missed out on him. He went back to New Orleans. Now they trade Tannehill, so it's wide open.
So neither Teddy Bridgewater nor Tyrod Taylor wanted to go start in Miami. They chose to be backups. Taylor signed up to be Phillip Rivers' backup, and Tyrod and Bridgewater signed to be Drew Brees' backup. They'd rather do that than get their brains beaten in for a year.
Brian Flores, good luck. Anyways, so he sent this tweet out, current starting quarterbacks in the AFC East. From projected best to worst in 2019, number one, Sam Darnold.
Okay.
Number two, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, and before Luke Falk. So he's got Sam Darnold. That's why I say ultimate troll job. He can't even take it serious.
You can't, right?
He's not
at this point in time. I think his sense of humor is all he has left. He right? I mean, he has to because it's. I mean, I don't know. You tell me, Ben. A run this long. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers, really. They had Montana with the same relatively the same corner at Montana than Young. Dallas Cowboys, Troy Aikman, I guess Ben Roethlisberger. You always have a chance with him. What the coach does is a whole other thing. It's unheard of.
Saw this tweet from Mike Kay. Blue check mark. Don't ask.
Eagles, I think. Covers the Eagles.
Eagles? Okay.
So.
All right. The Los Angeles Rams punter, Johnny Hecker, has thrown 14 more NFL passes than the Miami Dolphins' current quarterback room.
With a blue check mark.
Johnny Hecker's thrown 14 more passes than anyone in that room in the NFL.
It's just demoralizing for the rest of the AFCs. Not only that the Patriots have been this good for that long, but that none of these teams, we're going on two decades, and none of them can find a quarterback. And Darnold might be something. I think Josh Allen sucks. We'll see what the Dolphins.
Well, the problem is they thought they
had a few.
And all these, if you're Manish, like writing these tweets, which I find hilarious, by the way,
It's
the only thing left to do because it's spinning your wheels. It's Groundhog Day there. Like the Dolphins, they're dealing with the same damn issues there that they were when I was covering them 7 years ago. Who's our quarterback going to be? Did we find the right coach? Who's our left tackle? Like these teams, it's going on 20 years now. They're dealing with the same crap over and over. So if you're Manish Mehta, all you can do is troll some Patriots
fans
and have some fun.
Who do you think in the Brady era, who do you think has been his best competition in the AFC East?
Pennington?
Yeah, I was going to say Chad Pennington.
Favre that 1 year, although they weren't that good. I mean, there hasn't been much.
Nothing sustainable. No. One and done. I mean, hey, we beat you.
Sanchez and Rex?
Sanchez.
Like, really?
Yeah. The Jets.
Yeah, AFC title game.
Exactly. They came in here and beat you.
So the Jets have been probably what they're... their stiffest competition?
So I remember doing the research on this last year. As far as head-to-head, the Dolphins have done better against the Patriots than the rest of the league. The Dolphins are like the fifth toughest team because the Patriots always have a tough time.
It's
always down there. Yeah. It's never up here. Brady owns the Bills. He's like 29-3 against the Bills. And he's done well against the Jets. But the Dolphins have actually, head-to-head, given the Patriots some challenge. But as far as competing in the division, the Jets had that brief run. But otherwise, it's been two decades, 20 years now of – not only are the Patriots good, but these other teams just suck so bad and they can't find a quarterback.
Well, when you draft a guy, you hope it's him, whether it's Sanchez, whether it's Tyrod Taylor, whoever it might be.
Tannehill.
And you're like, okay, year one, year two, but then you start to hear it. He's showing promise. Year three is his breakout year. And by the time year four rolls around, you say, we don't have the guy. He can't play. We got to do it again. And then it takes another 4 years to figure out you missed again.
Yep.
Right? That's why I think Baker Mayfield... Cleveland, a team that's just sucked forever, swung and missed on all these quarterbacks, passed up all these quarterbacks. At least they got a quarterback.
Absolutely.
At least, so they're where they need to
you
be.
You think
right
they
now.
Do?
I think they do. You don't think they do?
Well, I just I was gonna sit there and compare. Listen, I loved him coming out of college, and I said they should pick him number one, and they did. And I was just about to compare him to Brett Favre, and I was going to try and draw some correlation of that being a bad thing, but that's a great thing.
Yeah, if you can draft Favre,
yeah, it's
okay.
A great thing because he's just Favre for everything, for all his issues, man, he was a winner. And don't give me this his release point, how tall he is, and blah blah.
What's
the guy was a winner.
What was his hand size?
Again, drives me crazy. The guy was a winner, and Baker Mayfield is a winner. And he had issues coming out in college, and nobody even brought it up. The guy was, like, sprinting away from the cops. It was crazy. And they had it on film, and no one ever said anything about it. It wasn't a big deal because he was so good. But hold on, I have a question for Ben because we brought this up. Kareem Hunt gets, because you mentioned the Cleveland Browns.
8 games.
Kareem Hunt gets 8 games. Good, bad, not enough?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
That's a great question.
Thank you. Good
thank
timing,
you,
too, right?
Question of the week.
The first thing that struck me was I just want everyone to remember the NFL and the Chiefs were totally cool with this guy before the video came out, and they knew about all these incidents last year. And, Clark Hunt, the Chiefs owner, comes out in preseason and says, we think he's a fine young man. He's learned from his mistakes, and they're just willing to take him at his word. And everyone was cool with Kareem Hunt until TMZ releases the video, and then we...
Well, they suddenly, he lied to him, though.
Oh, but...
That's why they released him.
But they didn't even pretend to try to get the videotape or, anything. Like, they didn't do any real diligence. They just took Kareem Hunt at his word. And then when the video is released, just like with Ray Rice, that's when they decide to grow a backbone and, we are dismayed and we're going to release him, and now he gets the 8-game suspension, which is fair. It's just, I don't think what Kareem Hunt did was as bad as what Ray Rice did, but... the NFL's got to look tough in 8 games. Sure, I think Kareem Hunt deserves to sit that much. But the NFL and the Chiefs, they're all fine with it until TMZ released that video. So that's, again, the moral of the story. If you do something, make sure it's not caught on videotape.
Or when you're explaining it or describing it, oversell it. Make it as worse as possible. Make it as add stuff to it. So or almost ask for 8 games.
Has there been an appeal? Or is it just it's 8 games?
Yeah, I don't know if by
I wonder if that's coming down to 6 or what.
I can't imagine Kareem Hunt would appeal it just because I think he's getting a second chance here that some people don't want him to get.
So the bottom line is he comes back after 8 weeks.
After 8 games.
After eight games. Yeah. So
the Patriots might end up missing him. They host the Browns this year, which I think would be an unbelievable week 1 opening Sunday Night Football game.
I think that would be fantastic.
Oh. I mean, that would be a great game. I mean, if you're an NFL
Sunday
fan,
night, right?
If you're an NFL fan right now, what is the one team you want to watch?
Cleveland. Absolutely. Cleveland against the Patriots, Baker Mayfield and Brady and Odell Beckham and all that. But so here's the only downside to that. You're gonna spend your week 1 Sunday Night Football talking about Robert Kraft and his ordeal and Kareem Hunt and his ordeal. And is that what you want? Your big signature game, but matchup wise,
I would say yes. Based on their history, it's like bad news doesn't matter.
Don't matter. Just talk about it.
But I will also say, if you're the Patriots, that's the last matchup you want. You have no idea what they're going to do. You have no clue how they're going to use them. I mean, you have a quarterback that's as random as anybody. With 2 new receivers and a tight end, I mean, that would be. I would want some film on them. Yeah. I would not want to play them week 1.
Are they the biggest contender in the AFC, or is it still Kansas City? I think we both thought it was Kansas City last
year. Yeah, they have no track record of being good.
Yeah. But where do you put them winning the division, winning North?
Yeah, yeah. Again, before we, I saw their Super Bowl odds now are like 7-1. Like, let's see them make the playoffs first. The Browns, I know they have a ton of talent, but there's a big difference between Baker Mayfield being talented and knowing how to win games, which he might. He had a, what, like 5-3 record down the stretch. But they're definitely the favorites in the North. I think they're the favorites to win the division because the other three teams all look pretty down right now. And I'm not a believer in Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I think that's going to implode on them. But, yeah, the Chiefs, I think the Colts are going to be back next year, and then the Patriots and probably the Browns.
What about Kitchens, their coach?
I know nothing about him. I kind of defer to them at this point. If they like him, then and if they think that he worked well with Baker Mayfield last year, then more power to him. I am kind of surprised that with all this high-powered talent they had, they didn't go get a coach to match it. But maybe that's a good move. I mean, I like maybe that they weren't just chasing a name. Like, you know, everyone wanted John Gruden for so many years, but do we know that Gruden can actually coach anymore? Like, we don't really know that. So I do think a lot of these teams, like the Dolphins and the Bills, that are always firing GMs and firing their head coaches, that hurts them more than anything. Just the constant churn and turnover. There's no continuity ever. And sometimes I think there's something to be said for just keeping some continuity.
All right, so we saw the ultimate troll tweet here. We love this thing. Manish Mehta, New York Daily News. Just talked to him the other day at NBC. Current starting quarterbacks in AFC East from projected best to worst 2019. Sam Darnold, number one. Tom Brady, number two. Josh Allen, number three. Luke Falk, number four. And to explain himself, I will bring you now Manish Mehta, who joins us on the phone. Manish, it's Maloney, Forian, Ben Volen from the Globe. You were laughing with yourself, right, when you tweeted this thing out?
What, are you guys killing me over this?
No, we're laughing with you, I hope. Yeah.
We realize this is your only recourse at this point in time.
Well, I mean, Tom Brady is not going to be incredible until death, right? I mean, can we agree on that?
At this point, I don't know. I think he's Dorian Gray.
Yeah, I think, sooner or later, clearly he wasn't the same player. I know they won the Super Bowl. He's a great player, without a doubt. But hey, would it shock you if he was not the best quarterback in the AFC East this year?
Yes. Yes, Manish.
Wait, Manish, yes. Hold on.
Yes, it would.
Was this tweet serious? Or were you?
Absolutely. Did you guys watch Sam Darnold play this year?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Yeah. Detroit game was awesome.
Outside of one or two games.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, no, yeah, 3-4 games. Yeah.
He sucked.
Yeah, I think, Manish, I think you're so desperate to have anything that you're forcing the Sam Darnold issue before he's ready. I mean, I get it. We were all laughing about it. Because your sense of humor is all you have.
They do have Le'Veon Bell. You'd anticipate that Gronk isn't coming back, right?
Nah, we're not there yet.
Oh, I'm at 90% no. So, yeah, maybe I should jump ship.
Bruce Ellington and Maurice Harris doesn't scare you?
Right. Look, so he loses Gronk. I know that he's got Hall of Famer Julian Edelman on his side. But for the most part, you know, he's losing his best offensive weapon. The Jets are getting, one of the top five offensive players in the league to help Sam Darnold this year, who's entering his second season. I don't think it's, you know, out of the realm of possibility that Sam Darnold could have a really good season in 2019, and Tom Brady could take, you know, a couple steps back at the age of, 70?
Manish, when was the last time you were this excited about a Jets quarterback and a Jets offseason?
The last one.
No, Sam Darnold's the best quarterback that I've covered in the last 10 years, without a doubt. There's not a close second.
Better than Sanchez.
Much better than Sanchez. It's not even close. Even when Sanchez was winning games, it wasn't because of Sanchez. It was because they had a great running game and a great defense and a great offensive line. Now, Sam Darnold's clearly an extremely talented player who I think is going to take a step forward in his second season. I just think it's funny because, look, I love Tom Brady. I think he's the best quarterback in the history of football, but he is, in all seriousness, he's 41 now? I lost track.
He'll be 42 this fall, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, okay, so he'll be 42. He's born like in July or whatever it is, right? So he cannot, and he clearly was not the same player as he was the prior season. They won the Super Bowl, so you can't say that he wasn't great, but he clearly was not. You watched every snap of him this past season. Did you think that he was the same player he was in 2018 as he was in 2017?
No, he wasn't as good. And maybe the injury was dealing with, you know, influx of weapons around him, inconsistent. I don't. But if you think Darnold could has a chance to be better than Brady, are you taking it the next step forward and saying the Jets will challenge the Patriots in the division?
Well, I think the Jets can be in a playoff conversation, and to me that means 9-10 wins. I mean, that right, if you're a 9 or 10 win team, you're always kind of hanging around. You're always going to be, you know, a possible playoff team. So I think that's kind of where this team is going to ultimately fall. Assuming that Le'Veon Bell doesn't get hurt. If they're going to get 9 or 10 wins, they've got a legitimate chance of being a wild card team. And if something happens in New England, maybe winning the division. But I would say, you know, to be fair about it, you'd obviously say that the Patriots are a better team right now. But I don't think it's outrageous to think that Sam Darnold's going to make a leap in his second season, especially with a guy like Le'Veon Bell beside him.
Okay, I have one request. And maybe you could help me out with this. And I think it'll actually do that franchise some good. So at the draft, when somebody, a next player comes up and represents the Jets, can you please make sure they know how to spell Jets?
J-E-T-E, Jets!
Just make sure that happens, okay? And then there will be no more jokes.
Look, I've got to be honest with you. Tony Richardson, who is the guy that you just played, former fullback, you know, really great player for the Chiefs, and then a little bit later with the Jets, he's actually one of the smartest, and you guys are going to laugh at this, and you probably should, he's actually one of the smartest players that I've been around over the last decade, so he had a brain cramp. What are you going to do? The guy had a brain cramp? Maybe, you know, he never won a spelling bee. Hey, that's embarrassing, no doubt. That's embarrassing. But, you know, all that being said, I think that this quarterback is the real deal. I've been public about it. I think he's legitimately got a chance to be a real difference maker in this league. We'll see if it happens in year two or three, but I don't think this is a situation where you're going to have a repeat of Mark Sanchez. I certainly don't think, when you look around the division, this is a Ryan Tannehill type of player. Now, this is a guy who can be a game changer. It's just a matter of how quickly that can happen.
All right. He's Manish Mehta, New York Daily News. Manish, thanks for the time, buddy. When we get back right after this break, we'll dive more into that.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets!
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Robin Buster.
All right, Manish Mehta just joined us, New York Daily News. I honestly thought that he was, like, just trolling Job, you know, like the tweet. The more when you talk to him, though, as you just heard, he actually thinks it could really happen. Like, he actually thinks Sam Darnold takes that step or two or three. Brady takes a couple steps back, and Sam Darnold is the best quarterback in the AFC East. Now, I think this is how sad it is for Jets fans. That when you watch rookie year of Sam Darnold, you say, we've got him. You know, for a guy that threw 57 completion percentage, 17 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, this is our guy. I know rookie year, a lot of guys don't show, but they're just so desperate, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely, because my own, yeah. Okay, here we go.
Sorry. Red light.
Yeah, no, they're desperate because they've seen such bad quarterback play over the last decade that a guy makes a few throws and wins four games, and they get all hyped for him again. So.
I would say I hope they're good. I hope he's great. I wish there would be some sort of...
I think they're the second best team in the division.
There's something. There needs to be some pushback from a team. You said it's Miami, and when you really think about it, that is the team. But the Jets?
No, I think the Jets will be the second best team in the AFC East. And I think they actually have the second-best quarterback in the AFC. Yeah. Now, I don't even know what's going to happen down in Miami. I don't know. Maybe it's Kyler Murray. And we'll see how that thing looks. But right now, yeah, I think they will be the second-best team. I just don't – I mean, that's a huge jump. I mean, Manish is sitting there saying, you know, talking about 10 wins. What, just because the year two with this guy?
Well, they went and got Le'Veon Bell. They spent a ridiculous amount of money for C.J. Mosley, the linebacker.
Okay,
from the
C.J. Mosley, Le'Veon Bell is a stud, and I like that deal. $13 million, they didn't overpay, but 4-12.
I agree. I mean, but that's what you have to do if you're the Jets. You have to spend money just to show the fans that you're doing something. Yep. They got Mosley. They got the Crowder, the slot receiver. Yep. They gave him $18 million over 2 years.
And they got Adam Gase.
They got if you fail for the Dolphins, that's the guy I want to sign up right away.
This is random.
Coach.
And here's the thing, though. people who look at all these other teams, look at all the other teams spending all that money. Well, to your point, they kind of have to. The Patriots don't need to. If it works, great. You know what? We have a guy, okay, we'll pay a $40 million for Adam Humphries. But they're not going to go out there, unless it's a defensive player, and overspend. Cornerback, we got you. Safety, McCourty, we got you. Big linebacker, that's going to get, we'll get that guy also. But they show favoritism to that side of the football, and it's always going to be like that.
We talked about that yesterday, Ben. I don't know how you feel about it, but it does seem like, and it just goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, Patriot fans, you know, are so brainwashed that they, you know, they do whatever they want because they always win. Like, seriously, I don't know what it would take. Maybe, you know, if they cut Gronk and they cut Edelman and they just let James White go, I guarantee people still wouldn't be upset. It would be, everything's going to be just fine. But when it comes to this offense, do you think Bill does play favorites? Do you think Bill just sort of looks at it and says, Josh, Tom, you guys take care of it. I'm going to go build my defense. I'm going to trade for Michael Bennett. I know he lost Flowers, but I'm going to give money to Gilmore, McCourty. I'm going to bring back the other Jason McCourty, give him a bump. Here comes Chung. Hightower, I'll pay.
I don't know if they neglect the offense just as much as I think they've learned lessons over the years that the money they spend on those free agents, how often does it work out? Like Scott Chandler, that was supposed to be the big number two tight end. You know, Chris Hogan ended up being an okay player for them. But, you know, Brandon LaFell actually was pretty good. So maybe, you know, I think that's the caliber of move they have to go make. Find another Brandon LaFell, a guy who's going to make $4 million a year and can block in the run game and can, you know, make 65 catches for 900 yards. You don't need, and this is coming from someone, I'd like to see them go trade for A.J. Green or something, but you don't, the Patriots don't necessarily need that on offense. They have Edelman, Gronk, Rex Burkhead, James White.
You know when they go get A.J. Green? 3 years from now, when he's played for two more teams, and they say, you know, it's like week two of training camp. Hey, come on in. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's the perfect Patriots type move for them.
Like Jordy Nelson. Right. See, Lou wants Jordy Nelson.
Any interest?
No.
What do you mean no?
Two teams in 2 years, completely over the hill. What is he going to bring the Patriots?
He's Eric Decker.
He's better
than
Decker.
He's an older Eric Decker.
Exactly.
With, I don't know what his wife looks like, but I'm assuming she's not as hot.
That's a tough standard.
Well, he went
that's
from Green Bay. He'd been in Oakland for a couple years, right? Well,
I think 1 year.
Okay, yeah. 1 year. And it wasn't awful.
And the Raiders paid him to leave.
First half wasn't great. Second half of the season was okay. This isn't Eric Decker. Eric Decker was done for like a year or two before he got to New England.
No, he wasn't done for a year or two. Stop it. And the thing is that if they bring Jordy Nelson in like now, okay, I'm for it. Good. Okay, veteran deal. Okay, situational type guy. I'd take him over Hogan for 1 year because everybody gets a 1 year deal.
Right.
Great. But if you bring him in the second week of camp, he's Eric Decker. Yeah, that would be the difference. You're looking up Jordy Nelson's wife? Is that what you're doing?
No. I was looking at Decker who missed basically.
Why don't you bring that in, Tyler?
Who missed basically 2016. So he was done in New York and then they moved on to Tennessee for 1 year and caught 54 catches.
What's the three-cone drill?
I don't even know. I think Jordy Nelson, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in here.
Maybe
he is Decker. They're going to bring him in. Maybe if they find out he can't play, he can't play.
I just looked at the list of free agents this year and pretty much across the board at all the positions. And you know that by nature, free agency, you're going to have to overpay for the top guys. And you're looking at the names and you're like, why would I pay for this crap when there are players who are just as good who are going to be, you know, off the scrap heap? I think it's just the nature of free agency this year where anyone worth his salt was taken off the market with an extension or a franchise tag. And there was just not a whole lot available.
So why did they go and offer more money to Adam Humphries?
That would be the one guy that I could have seen them bringing in. He's young. He's been durable and productive. He's a small white slot guy. We all know that they love those.
You should sign. You should go try out.
$10 million for slot guys.
I fit the profile. My three cone isn't as good, but so that would be the one guy that maybe they should have spent more money and they shouldn't have nickel and dimed him and made a strong offer. But obviously, I don't know. They feel pretty confident that they'll be able to tape it together. And again, them winning the Super Bowl this past year, how do you argue with them at this point?
I understand that. And that is the argument everybody wants to use. And I get it. They're going to win. They're going to be successful. They're going to win the East. They'll be in the AFC title game. We'll see how healthy
they are. Assuming Brady's better than Sam Darnold this year, which is a big assumption.
What do you think the private conversations are like between Brady and Josh McDaniels?
Yeah, I think Brady is rolling his eyes and saying, here we go again with this crap.
Why are they doing this again? I think Josh is like, Tom, we got to figure it out. I don't know why he tries to. Why I don't know why he makes it so hard on me. I don't know why he makes it so hard on you at 42 years old. I don't get it, but you know what? We'll figure it out. We're going to win ball games. I just don't think that Brady is as happy about this offseason as every Patriot fan is.
He's right there.
Patriot fans are so excited they haven't gotten anybody.
Well, I don't know how you could be excited. I think you could not be disappointed.
Because they know that this is what works. They're not worried. They're like, okay, no big deal. We're going to win a Super Bowl. They're smarting up. Oh, what you want to do? Go sign guys? They didn't sign anybody last year and they won a Super Bowl. Meanwhile, I think they're happier than their quarterback is about what's unfolded in the last few days.
Yeah, I definitely don't think Brady's happy with what they've done. I think he does like seeing Dorsett come back. That's a familiar person at least. But, yeah, of course Brady wants some more weapons. But, you know, I think, 20 years in the league now, he knows the roster building is still in its infancy. Like, yes, they sat out the first wave of free agency, but guys will still get cut for salary cap reasons over the next month. There'll be trades during the draft. The Patriots this time last year, we had no idea who their left tackle would be. Here comes the draft. They trade for this guy named Trent Brown, and we all know what happened.
And I think we're going to wait for the draft because you never know. Wide receivers go off the board, make somebody expendable. Who knows? I want to go back to the calls. Let's go to Richard in Taunton because this might be one way to get all the way back on the air. Go ahead, Richard.
How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. I just took you off speaker anyway. Yeah, I'm one of those guys that's happy that, you know, the last couple of days I think you had excellent shows about the Big O. And you want to go. You want to pick up that guy who wants to beat you up. Thank you.
What? I got to do what for the guy that does the guy that wants to beat me up? We're going to have to play
I
that
no
eventually.
I have no idea what that just happened. I heard him say something know. About liking the show without Wardway.
Doesn't like.
You should tweet him. Tweet at him. Let him know. Ordway. Let him know. They'll bring him back on
Monday. Hooky. He's not. He's Ferris Bueller right
now. So the guy did call up earlier today on Dalen Keefe and wants to fight you.
Yes, for don't know why.
All right, we'll hear that conversation, that phone call next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
There's two different stories here, but one of your best players, who's a bench player, gives you 4 points. So, and the only thing,
but
the only
he
way,
was the
only
facilitator.
Way Gordon Hayward, the only way
while
Gordon
they
Hayward
took an 18-point
to
lead,
you don't have an issue with the fact that everybody contributes,
Christian,
and you only get 4 points from Gordon Hayward.
Different story.
No, and
one story
that
is that Gordon Hayward
oh God,
is not
shut the hell up.
Gordon Hayward is not what he should be.
You won't shut the f up.
But last
you
night's
won't
game,
shut the hell up.
You're overdoing last
said.
Night's game.
I'm just letting it go. I'm letting it breathe.
Sometimes. I want to take this pen and stab it in your neck,
watch you bleed out,
and then just I'm going to bring you back to life, and then I'm going to stab you on the other side of your neck,
suspension.
And then make you bleed out. I was missing him. Now, hearing him completely ignore the topic and talk all over me, I don't miss him at all.
So you are a bully.
With him. Well, you kind of have to be with him. If you don't stand up to that guy, you'll never get a word in. Ever. And he doesn't listen.
So this afternoon on Dalen Keefe, what was the guy's name? Eric in a car?
Eric from work.
Eric from work.
He's a regular.
Working quotes.
Regular midday caller. Exactly, crazy.
We called Dalen Keefe, and it seems to have an issue with our big fellow over here.
So I have a source saying that Christian Fourier is a bully. So I would actually like to challenge him to a fight. He can come to the gym, sign a waiver. And I really am anxious to get my hands on him. Because once I do, he's going down.
Hold on. First of all, Eric, I don't think Fourier is a bully at all. I think you've gotten some bad information
no,
on
no,
that.
No, my brother's friend told me this. And
brother's friend. Oh, this is getting a little sketchy.
And he has a tattoo or something about predicting about the Patriots, like Super Bowl or something.
He does not have any tattoos.
And he's not on Good Morning Football.
No, not Christian Fourier, the guy who told me. My brother's friend.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
He's Good Morning Football.
So obviously he's a good source, though.
All right, so
he's all tatted up.
Based on that new information, I think you'd... Let's get it on!
What's your... Eric,
let's go!
Not to tip your hand, how would you describe your fighting style?
I'm just going to get him in the Muay Thai clinch and knee him in the face a bunch of times. I'm going to tap him, get him on his back, and beat the shit out of him.
All right, okay. I asked for that. So that was it.
What did you do to that guy?
What do you mean, what did I do to that guy?
That wasn't you, right?
I do you think it was me?
No.
If I have a source saying that I'm Christian Forte is a bully.
Christian can't make his voice sound that high.
No, that's not
his, got one voice.
That's like high-pitched Eric from the Howard
Stern
show.
He's got one voice, and eventually he would go to it. He would start off like that, and eventually be like, yeah, nah, it's Chuck.
I just...
No, it's not Fourier, it's Chuck.
So I don't know what to do about that.
So now we understand that this guy's like about 6'3", so he's actually got
some
size.
He was a big fella.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he was a very... I don't think he's like Wiggy big. Like Wiggy's big, but he's athletic. I just hear like... what I heard is this guy is just big. So probably sloppy, probably a little clumsy. No, not like Wiggy's athletic. Okay, stop trying to pick on Wiggy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I don't know what should I don't know, Ben. What should I do? You got picked on a lot as a kid. What should I do?
a lot. But I didn't have the ability to fight back like you do. I wasn't 6'5". I had to take it.
Did you take it?
I was, you know, took a, not like beatings,
I figure you'd be a little scrappy kid, you know, like in...
In middle school, I was at a significant height and size disadvantage for sure, so yeah, I got stuffed in my locker.
Should I just let it go and just...
Well, that's no fun. I mean, yes, but that's no fun.
Eric, call up now.
So I would actually like to challenge him to a fight.
Well, like, you have to set the ground rules. Are we talking about a fist fight? Are we talking like MMA style?
I got to sign a waiver. So I got to sign it, I guess, to protect me or him.
I think he might think it's to protect you.
Yeah, probably.
I'm just going to get him in the Muay Thai clinch.
What is he going to get you in
the Muay Thai clinch?
What is that? Does anybody know what that is?
So he's going to clasp his hands over the back of your head, pull your head down, and then knee you in the face repeatedly.
Oh.
That's the plan. Okay. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
I was just sitting here telling Ben how, like, riding a bike is painful. Nobody's getting in a ring and fighting anybody. Have a battle of wits. How about that? Let's do that.
You sure you want to do that?
Oh, this guy? I think I can win.
I don't know if we have that.
This guy, I think I can win. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Let's go!
This guy, I think
Let's
I got
go!
Him.
Let's go! Yeah! Bring my number two pencil. All right. Hold on. I got a question for Ben.
All right,
I want to get this question in now before he leaves, and then we'll get serious again in a second.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So I asked this question to Lou and really everybody. Okay, here's the situation. You have a time machine.
Okay.
And that time machine, you can't just go all over the place. You can either go forward in time or you can go to the past. As far as you want, as long as you want. Forward or back. You can't do both. This isn't Back to the Future. This isn't, you know, one of those crazy movies. Which direction are you going?
That's a great question.
I would, you said Back to the Future. I would go back because you can take your sports almanac back to 1967 and bet on all the games.
I'm removing that from the option. I'm removing the ability to get rich in the past.
So I can't open a $10 account in 1932 grow today.
Make sure it's a bank that's still around.
I want to go to the past because I don't know. I think it'd be cool to see what life was like in 1847 or. I don't know, something like that. Dinosaurs or whatever.
1847?
Or not when dinosaurs ruled the earth. Yeah,
why does anybody... Nobody wants to go forward.
No.
What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of going into the future? Well, what are you afraid you're going to see?
Again, my first thought was making money. You can't make any money in the future. But no, it'd be cool to live like the Jetsons and you get to fly around in your jetpack and see what life is like. How we've ruined the world in 2500 and you know how we end humanity. But... It's just because we know so much about the past. I think it'd be interesting to go back and actually experience it.
Yeah, let's go back and do it again.
I already have a job for you in the future.
What's that?
A history teacher.
Well, yeah. That's
specializing in the 1990s.
When I screw up and get fired at the Globe, that's my fallback.
A sports historian. I mean, that could be it'd be perfect for that. And you lived it. When everybody else is changing the narrative, you can say, you know, I was there. Mm-hmm.
Make them, you know, use typewriters and number
two pencils. Nobody chooses the future. Nobody wants to go into the future. Everybody's afraid of the future. They're going to die.
But
their kids are going
to
be nuts.
If your only way to go to the future is if you got, like, past your lifetime. Like you said, like, 100 years from now. 150 years from now. Okay, that'd be interesting.
Kids' lifetime.
I don't want to fast forward 10 years to find out bad things are happening.
Well,
you just don't want to do it.
10 years is not enough, though. If you're really going to do it, you really got to go 500 years into the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
500
years. That's what I mean. Outside your lifetime and whatever.
I mean, anybody's lifetime. Yeah. And then what does the world actually look like? Would you, you know, and then how would you fit in?
See, these are things we think about over here.
This is deep stuff, guys. I was not prepared for this.
No.
My brain's kind of exploding right
See,
now.
See, like you're going to go to work tonight, and you're going to ask the same question, okay?
It's,
you're
going to
say, hey, what
night.
Would you choose? You're going to ask your wife. You're going to start. You're going to go out to dinner with friends. Hey, you can only go one way. Which way would it be?
You can go to the big board and talk about it.
Yeah. Can you guys make some sort of graphic on your show tonight?
This is,
ask Gary Tangway.
This is deep stuff, man. It's like Zen philosophy here from Christian.
Yeah, this is deep. This is really deep. We hit it the other day. We did it instead of bullpen talk. So
see, I heard Keith talking about it. There is something to going far enough into the past where you can just be the biggest badass warrior of all. Like, not only do you have all the information and the intelligence, but you also have the physical skills because, at least for me, it would work out for me because I'm 6'4". You guys would still be average guys. So
you'd be a giant?
I'd be
a giant.
You'd be Hercules.
Although, you know, to your point, Christian...
Yeah, I'm sure.
Now that I think about it, going back in the past could be very frustrating because, like, okay, you're in 1784. Like, you can't use your email anymore and you can't drive a car and all the conveniences you're used to are gone.
Let's go back to 1955.
You know, and if you cut your hand, if you have any sort of cut, like, you literally die.
Yeah, gangrene and die. Like, so that
no penicillin. You could create penicillin, though. Think about how cool
you
would
go
be.
Pick something up in the next town. They tell you it's like 17 hours away because you have to walk.
Yeah, but I know you would have all this information. You could be the court jester. Hey, sing me a song. You would be the most revered person in the kingdom.
Great joke though. It was very, very good. Very, very.
Sing
very
me a song. Hey, make me laugh, funny man. You could take everybody's jokes. You'd be Eddie Murphy from Delirious. They wouldn't get it, but what are you talking about? A flying shoe.
No, but now that I think about it, going back into the past is going to be really boring. Like, how would I survive without Netflix and without my smartphone?
You'd be all right.
I would be bored out of my mind.
A lot of puppet
shows. We got to clear some things up here. Let's go to the call. I want to go to JJ, who's down in Marshfield. He kind of just needs to clear some things up with you, Christian. Go ahead,
hey,
JJ.
What's up, Lou?
What's up?
A question for Christian.
Yeah.
If you can only go one way, does that mean you're stuck there and you can never come back?
Well, are we doing like a vacation? Good question, JJ. It came up the other day. Is this like a little vacation for
no,
a
you
week?
Can come back. No, you come back, check it out. You stay as long as you want, but you have the ability to come back, but you can only go in one direction. So if you want to go to the future, you can go check it out, hang out, realize that everybody is asexual and you don't fit in at all. Or you can go back to the, you know, to the past and become a lord or I don't know, whatever it is.
Hmm.
Okay. That's it.
I like it. All right. So that was the one question for you, Ben. So I know we were going to.
I know we brought you in for the deep conversation.
Yeah,
couple minutes now before you're leaving us. So I just want to get your thoughts on the Michael Bennett trade. Do you like the addition?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a guy. I know he's 33 years old, but he's played in all 16 games in 6 of his last 7 years. He's played in, I think, at least 70% of snaps all those years too. So he's a durable, you know, good pass rusher. Obviously, the Patriots love the guy when they played him in the Super Bowl. Ernie Adams is waxing about how they couldn't block him in that game. And yeah, you know, they kind of violated the golden rule by giving up Flowers and getting Bennett. They got 7 years older at the position. But as we said, there's no long-term future in the NFL anymore. It's a year-to-year kind of thing. And I think Bennett's still a good player for a fraction of the cost. So I don't mind. It's not that I like the move. Sure, perfect world, I'd like to see Trey Flowers back. But I, Michael Bennett will be a good player for
him. Yeah, but that's not even.
Admire you from afar and not have the opportunity to.
His ability is unquestioned. He's a good player. Well, I just think he's going to be a nightmare.
Well, the fact that he's already talking about that he's going to stay in the locker room, I'm sure Bill's going to have a talk with him.
Not only that, white people uncomfortable.
Well, he wrote that book, but he's actually saying he can't wait to sit down and talk to Bill and Tom Brady about their relationship with Donald Trump. Like, he's looking forward to that conversation. You tell me how that works.
I'm sure he's going to change Bill's mind, too.
Brilliant.
Hey, Bill, you got a minute? I mean, I don't. Well, yeah, sure. What do you want to talk about? Trump? No, we're not going to talk.
No,
we're talking.
See, I think Martellus Bennett actually fit pretty well.
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, he had his moments, but I think he was a model citizen.
He must first turn to ashes.
This guy, he seems like a little much. I feel like he's more of a grandstander, soapbox guy.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as he understands and has kind of got all the information from his brother, I feel like he's more of an opportunist, and he loves the attention more than his brother, which is saying a lot.
Those Bennett brothers love the attention, and they love hearing the sound of their own voice, and I think they've been told for a long time how smart they are and how much smarter they are from everyone else, and I do get the feeling that they believe it sometimes, but I don't know. I do think Bill's going to have a talk with this guy and read him the riot act a little bit and let him know that there are certain expectations, and as long as you fulfill those, you know, you can be a little bit wacky, but, you know, he's going to be neutered here, and I think the one thing you have to be worried about is a lot of times when they get these veterans on the one-year deals, or, you know, you expect Bennett to fall in the line, but he's at the stage of his career. Maybe he realizes he doesn't have that much time left, so maybe he's not, you know, he doesn't.
I'm not going to have this platform.
Right, he doesn't bite his tongue as much anymore. So I do wonder if you have to worry about that a little bit, but it'll be a good signing. And, I mean, they just released Adrian Claiborne again today, too, so they need a pass rusher for sure, and I think Bennett will be a good addition for that.
All right, so any chance before you go there's no splash to be made. I mean, Adomican Sue?
No, I don't want that.
Ziggy Ansah?
I don't want him.
You don't want Adomican
Sue?
Why
don't you want Sue?
Why wouldn't you want Sue?
Sue is overpaid and...
He's not going to be overpaid. Well, he's not overpaid for the Patriots.
Day three, he's not going to break the bank.
What did he do for the Rams last year? Like, nothing.
He was played great at the end of the year.
Yeah,
That whole team underperformed throughout the year, though, that defense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, here we are in day three. The guy's not signed yet, unless I miss something, and someone, I'm sure, if it happens, will tell me in 3 seconds on a tweet or
dream
text.
Scenario, then. Like, who's your guy?
But if Adomican Sue is still out there on Friday, a week of free agency, how much does it cost to get this guy? Maybe it doesn't.
He made 14 last year. He's probably lucky to get half that this year, I would think, for a 33-year-old defensive tackle, you know?
I forgot he's that old.
Yeah, he is that old. He's been out for 10, 11 years now. He's been in the league. And he's made a ton of money, so he's not going to come back for peanuts. You know, I don't think he's going to be willing to do that. I don't know if I have a wish list. I'd have to study all the trades. I want them to make trades. That's where the value is. Give up some of these draft picks. Do the thing where you give up a 6 or you give up a 5, but you get a 6 back and you move up and down a little bit. Like, that's where you can find good value. Find the guys who are entering the last year of their deals. You'll get a compensatory pick for them. All these free agents, I mean, they all suck. I'm not into any of them, to be honest.
Yeah, draft-wise, though, then, what do you think they do in the draft? Do you think they keep that pick where they're at, or do you think they trade out of it? And who? And then if they do trade up, who do they think they ultimately? What position do they ultimately take?
I mean, tight end, as you said. I think those two kids from Iowa, where Belichick has his boy Kirk Ferentz there and all that. So those two Iowa tight ends are both probably first round. Hawkinson probably won't be there. The other kid, Fant, might be there at 32. I would make a play if you're going to trade up. I would make a play for one of those guys because that's someone you can pencil into your lineup for the next 4 years, and you know they're probably going to be pretty productive. You know, I think what everyone else is saying, they need to invest in more defensive linemen. They definitely need secondary. I love everyone on their team now, but they need to get younger at that position. And we'll see what they do with quarterback. I'm not of the belief that they have to make a crazy play for a quarterback. I think if one is there at 32 or in the second round, go get him. If you have to do a minor trade to go get one, go do it. But you've got Brady for 2, maybe even 3 more years. You've got Brian Hoyer for this year. I don't think they need to go out and get a quarterback.
All right, Ben Volen, Boston Globe, appreciate it. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, boys.
All right, good having him in. We, Christian and I continue. We got another hour to go. We'll kind of hit more. I do want to touch on the Celtics as well. Maybe we'll do that next. They kind of did something last night you haven't seen from them all year long, but still a lot of football. Here is OMF, continues right after this.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.